This is Jaguars Reporters. Jaguars Reporters Reporter. Presented by Burger King. Join Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher and peer of the realm we call Game Day, Cole Pepper, as they break down the last Jaguars game and look ahead to the next time the Jaguars take the field.
Why would I listen to anybody else?
Jaguars Reporters is brought to you by Burger King, American Express, Baptist Health, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Reporters begins right now.
And we welcome you in on a Tuesday night before the regular season gets underway. Cole Pepper, John Osher here in Jaguars Central, Joe Fortunato at the controls. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. And
when does it begin again?
This show?
Right now?
Right now.
Okay, right now. I got you.
Now. I just like the fact that Maurice is apparently giving us an endorsement.
He's here right now, too.
If you heard that.
Don't mock the open.
No, don't mock a big voice guy. You know, that's Joe spent several minutes on that. And quite frankly, you know.
When Joe puts in a couple of minutes, you get a couple of minutes out of it.
Right. By the way, you, of course, can interact with the show on Facebook, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. On Twitter, you can send questions and comments either to myself at Cole Pepper or John at John Osher. John's recent tweet, walking to office next door to be on Jaguars Reports.
Right,
with
Reporters.
At Cole Pepper. So I just want to break down your Twitter, your tweet here.
I'm out of characters.
First of all, this would be a studio, not an office, but although Joe wouldn't know the difference. And then phone 355-6351 for his thoughts. I'll chime in when I can. John is ready to give a full 10%.
Sure.
For maybe 12, maybe 11 for this show as we get ready for the regular season. I'm willing to give at least half that, so it should be a heck of a show as we get ready to start the year. But we do start Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King the very same way, because this is the way Joe likes it.
And now, three burning questions.
Joe Fortunato has three burning questions for us, and here they are.
Our first one, what can we expect from Maurice Jones-Drew now that he is back?
Well, I think he's going to play. He's not going to start. As for what you can expect, I wouldn't expect to see the Maurice who we saw last year in the sense that the guy was there every play, taking hits, fighting for every last yard, and carrying sometimes, you know, 25, 30 times a game. I don't know if that's realistic. I think you'll see him be able to contribute this week in spots, and there will certainly be times where he can help them.
I think you'll see a lot of him on third down early on, especially. Mike Mularkey said in a press conference earlier this week that he likes to use kind of a two-back set, one guy for first and second down, one guy for third down. And both Rashad Jennings and Maurice catch the ball very well out of the backfield, so they're kind of interchangeable from that standpoint. From a style standpoint, there's a lot of interchangeability. I mean, their build is different. But their styles are very similar. One interesting thing that Maurice said at the end of the toward the end of the press conference that I found very interesting was that he was not 100% last year, and he's more like 100% this year, coming off the knee surgery. Last year, at not 100%, he led the league in rushing. Now, I don't expect him to get that many carries as he did last year, but I'm interested to see what. 100% Maurice looks like after all this time off, and how much he'll actually be 100% in terms of, you know, his football readiness to absorb the pounding and bounce back.
Well, and I think more what he was talking about, and, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but he said several times at the end of last year that he knew he didn't have the breakaway speed that he wants to have. And he said at the end of last season that he was going to work on that this offseason. My guess is, when he's looking at his season last year, that's probably where he felt that he lacked. Because frankly, in terms of the other stuff, in terms of the effort, in terms of breaking tackles, in terms of you know being a tough runner who could will himself to do what he wanted to do, I'm not sure he lacked to anybody in the last 10 or 15 years last season. It was remarkable in that sense. But he wasn't happy with a couple of times where he got caught from behind. So I'm kind of assuming that's what he was talking about.
Yeah. All right. Question number two, Joe.
What will constitute success for Blaine Gabbert this year?
This is a great question. You came up with an excellent question here.
And I used the word constitute.
Yes, which I know you like to do in many settings. I think for Gabbert, there are sort of three things that you want to see. Number one, you want to see him not have the flinching in the pocket. You know, the chuck and duck, whatever you want to call it. Keep that to a minimum or eliminate it entirely. Number two, you want to see him make plays on third down, in the red zone, and in the final minutes of a ball game, because that's what really establishes a quarterback. And number three, I want to see a substantially improved touchdowns to interceptions ratio. Like, I want to see it at 2-1 rather than basically 1-1 like it was last year.
Yeah, I'd love to see it at 2-1. That's a tall order for any quarterback, much less a guy in his second year in a new offense. I'm not concerned about the chuck and duck. I thought that was really overblown last year, and I think a lot of the chuck and duck that people thought they saw last year was a guy who was not necessarily given all the tools needed to succeed, and was not necessarily the things he was seeing, either because of the wide receivers, because of the coaching, because of whatever, were not what he thought he was going to see when the game started. You know, things were not going well all over the offense, and when you're not seeing what you expected to see, things can look bad. Basically, what I want to see is, by December, I want to see him having two good games for every one where you go, he looked young there. And I think that's realistic. He's going to have, I think, three or four games where you go, boy, he looked like a rookie. Because in a lot of ways, in terms of being coached and in terms of really being in this offense and getting fundamentals, he is a rookie. So I think it's fair to expect young mistakes. By the end of the season, you'd like to see that ratio of, yeah, I like this, to, be at around 2-1.
All right, now, last question. Who do you think is going to be the star of this team by the end of the year?
That's another excellent question. If you think about that, last year...
Good job
tonight,
Jeff.
Well done. One of the things that, coming into last year, you knew, coming out of last year, Maurice Jones-Drew was the star of this team. Here are the candidates. Blackman, Jennings, Gabbert, LaRon Robinson, perhaps. And then, listen, Daryl Smith is never going to be thought of as a star. He's
right,
too understated. And I think Posluszny kind of in the same way. Those might be the guys who are really the top candidates as far as being the popular guy that everybody thinks of when you think about the Jaguars.
I mean, I think you're still going to see most people outside of this immediate area consider Jones-Drew the star, because unless he has a bad year, which I don't expect to have happen, it takes a while to change how people think of your team.
Yep.
But I do firmly believe, unless I just don't know what I'm seeing, which is always possible, I think by the end of the year, people around here are going to realize that Justin Blackman is very close to being, I don't say can't miss, but he has a lot of star potential. And in this offense, I think he's going to get fed the ball a lot.
Yep.
And he's going to be a guy who by the end of the year, people are starting to take notice of, and you're going to see in those columns that guys write about guys to watch down the road. I think he's going to be that guy.
Yeah, and down the road may not be that far down the road,
sure,
from what he's shown us so far.
Yeah, start writing stuff at the end of the year about what to watch in the offseason,
yep,
rising star type things. It's been a while since the Jaguars have had a guy included in that.
Yep.
I think Blackman's that guy.
All right, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. And Jaguars season tickets, group tickets, five-game packs, and single-game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. When we come back, we'll hear from the general manager, Gene Smith, what you don't know about the last preseason game. Also still to come, we'll have a comment from Mike Mularkey. And your calls and comments via Twitter. You can tweet to John or myself at Cole Temper or at John Osher. Jacksonville Jaguars Facebook page, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars, or via the phone lines at 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Back with more Jaguars reporters presented by Burger King right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
KV. And Elizabeth.
Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. Cole Pepper, John Osher here from Jaguars Central. Tomorrow night, from right here at Jaguars Central. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, 6 until 8. Full crew Brian, Jeff, Tony, John, Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike.
Come on, Bobby. Let's go, Bobby.
Everybody will be in for Jeff. I'll be elsewhere. I'll be listening elsewhere. Visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue basket, slow-smoked pulled and sliced meat basket for $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue.
By the way, that Jaguars this week tomorrow, emanating from this here room.
Yes.
Not out.
As previously stated, correct.
At Latitude 30. We'll be out there starting next week.
Next week. All right. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health. Depend on us for life. Most serious injuries, John, I think at this point the Jaguars are dealing with Uche Nwaneri with the ankle and Derek Cox with the hamstring. They did put Brent Brackett, the tight end, on injured reserve. We'll talk about a quick turnaround. Here's a guy who gets signed after some cuts and comes in and second practice, first practice, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was really a shame. I think it was his first, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, he got hurt while we were still on the field, which means –
First
30 minutes as he was walking off, I looked over and he was being helped off. And, you know, you just feel for a guy because he's a young guy who, clearly has some ability. But, you know, not being here very long and going on IR, you just hope he gets a shot at some point.
And then they've signed Colin Cloherty back to the roster to replace Brackett. So tight end and waiting, ready to go there. You think Uche's going to play? Do you think Derek Cox is going to play?
Well, typically, and, you know, I think this will probably be a refrain throughout the season, Mike Mularkey's very upfront when it comes to injuries, as much as any coach I've ever been around. He says he believes Uche will practice tomorrow. He believes he'll play on Sunday. He is not nearly as optimistic about Derek Cox and was talking about Will Middleton and Aaron Ross in a lineup on Sunday. So I don't think there's any reason to think that Mike's being disingenuous. He hasn't been on injuries so far, so I would expect that to play out that way.
All right, that's the injury update brought to you by Baptist Health. Before we get some calls in here at 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351, let's hear from Gene Smith and what we don't know about the Jaguars' final preseason game last week.
Ball control, how well we possessed it, 35 and a half minutes. The offensive team had the football, and then if you look at the 18-play, 81-yard drive, we held the ball for almost 11 minutes.
All right, that's some positives coming out of the last preseason game. And coming up a little bit later on, we'll get Gene's Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Week from the final preseason game. What do you say we take some calls here? 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. And we go out of state to start Hagerstown, Maryland. Jason, you're up here on Jaguars Reporters. Jason, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I just wanted to touch base on the secondary issue. I understand that Derek Cox has been hurt on and off for quite some time, and Rasheen Matthews is great, but, you know, he is getting older. I just wanted to know what you guys feel that the greatest need on the secondary or on the defense would be is cornerback. But when you tie it into the fact ESPN says we're going to go 1-15 and Sports Illustrated 2-14, I just don't see where they get this. And maybe they look at the cornerbacks, and I'll take it off the air, but wanted to see what you guys say. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jason. Yeah, those two predictions in particular have really stuck in the craw of fans.
Well, I think it's two separate issues. I don't think Sports Illustrated is looking at Derek Cox being hurt and saying, oh, my goodness, they're going to go 1-15. I think Sports Illustrated and ESPN look at the fact they were 5-11 last year. There's a lot of guys on this team who people haven't heard of, and it's very vogue to say that Blaine Gabbert can't play. And if you package all those things together and you've got a coach, Mike Mularkey, who is a very good coach but is not a Rex Ryan come in and make headlines nationally coach, you've got formula for the Jaguars are the easy team to say are going to be 2-14. Yeah. It's an easy thing for the national media.
You're also not going to get called out by big-name media types who, you know.
Right. And that's all fine. I mean, I don't believe that. We'll talk about that more a little later. But clearly secondary with Rasheen starting out at the nickel and with Derek not being available, I don't think anybody's going to tell you that's ideal. Derek Cox is a very, very good player. Rasheen Matthews has been, you know, the team's best corner for a long time until I think Derek's probably a little better last year because he's younger and more in his prime. So, no, it's not ideal. And I get questions all the time. Our team's going to test them. Well, yeah. I mean, sure. You're going to test corners as long as you think that they're not the strength, and it's up to these guys to prove that they can handle that.
And I will point out, by the way, that a little nugget on the Vikings, they haven't exactly been clicking on all cylinders in the preseason. Their first-team offense, when they've had Christian Ponder and the rest of the first team in there, whether Adrian Peterson, you know, plays or not, scored 22 points in the preseason. Now, they didn't play in the final game. Ponder didn't play in the final game against Houston. So, in three preseason games, the first-team offense averaged about a touchdown a game.
Yeah.
Too impressive.
I mean, I always hesitate. Going into the season opener, you always hesitate to say, this team is going to be this team is going to be that, because there's so much you don't know going into the season. And I'm sure people in Minnesota are sitting there saying, boy, this Jaguars game is a winnable game for us.
Sure.
I'm sure, you know, the Jaguars fans are saying the same thing. So, but for both teams, it's clearly a game that they need to win to get out of the gate. And if you circle games in the schedule, I think each team would say this is a game we need to win to get off to the kind of 4-5 game start we want to get off to.
355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351 if you want to join by the phones. If you want to join via social media, you can do that.
Yes, you can. By the way, all of our social media questions, be they tweeted or Facebooked, are presented by our good friends at CopyFax. This guy's is from Rich off Facebook. How much time will it take Maurice to learn the offense and regain the starting role?
I kind of expect him to be back in there week two. I don't think it'll take him very long to know what holes to hit. I think you may see, not just next week, but in a lot of weeks going forward, Jennings taking on more role in the passing game, because I think he gives you something with his speed, his ability to make linebackers miss. I think he gives you something there. I think he showed in the preseason that's a strength of his. But in terms of being able to run the ball, I don't think it's going to take Maurice that long to be able to figure out what holes to hit.
In fact, I think figuring out what the line calls are and what the pass protection assignments is going to take him longer than figuring out.
That takes any running back longer.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah. And it's not Maurice specific. This is just the fact that running backs, you know, really.
Most runners can come in and run.
What do you need to know? Is there left or right? Is it a pitch? Is it a hand? You know, there's not a lot you really need to know. It's run to daylight.
Right. I mean,
being
able to function within the entire offense is what most coaches would tell you. They can go out and find a runner. Even off the street, you can go out and find a runner. It's knowing how to function within the offense, how to pick up the blitz at the last minute to save the quarterback. Those are the things that make guys like Maurice Jones-Drew truly, truly above the rest, is they can do everything.
Yeah. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. I asked some people a bit earlier today on Twitter to chime in on their predictions for the season. You get a wide span, everything from 4 wins to 12 wins, I think I got from
people. It's an 8-game span.
It is.
Yes.
It's quite a span, indeed. So it will certainly fall in somewhere in that range. I would be shocked if it didn't, in either direction. Again, we talked about, you know, ESPN, the magazine, having them at 1-15 and having a, you know, with Sports Illustrated for 2-14. Mm-hmm. Again, I'd be shocked if it wound up there.
And I'd be shocked for this reason, Cole. You know, teams that go 1-15 and 2-14 are teams that fall apart structurally, teams that don't believe in what's going on. I just don't see this team remotely like that. This is a team that believes in what it's doing, and it's going to be well coached. It's not going to give away games at the end of games. Those kind of teams in the NFL figure out a way to get wins that you don't expect. I just don't see this not being a team that's competitive most weeks.
You know, a team like last year
gave away a lot of games
and still won five.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think this team is a better. You look at this roster. Is there any doubt this is a better roster than last year's roster?
No.
Another year
no
for
doubt.
Gabbert. Adding Aaron Ross. Adding Justin Blackmon, adding LaRon Robinson. I mean, it's just, again, Maurice a year removed from the knee surgery. Jennings is back and healthy. So all those things point to this as being a better roster. We'll take timeout when we come back. Mike Mularkey said it. We'll hear from the head coach as well as patch a hole in the ozone. One of the comments that didn't make it onto Jaguars.com, but we'll make it right here onto this fine program. That's all still to come, plus your calls, 355-NFL1. This is Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King, here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King, here on a Tuesday night. Remember that Sunday, the Jaguars open the regular season on the road at the Vikings. A 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at 10 a.m. with the Sunnies Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. If you want to jump aboard, you can also join us via Twitter. You can tweet to either John or myself, or both, at John Osher and at Cole Pepper. And on the Jaguars Facebook page, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. News from around the league coming here in just a minute involving a former Jaguars quarterback. But first, Mike Mularkey said it last night on the Mike Mularkey Show. 6 p.m. right here on many of this fine station. This is what the head coach said.
We had a great conversation Sunday when he came in. You know, he just had some beliefs that he was going to stick with. And I don't think at any time was it a distraction for a football team. We got a lot accomplished, and I think we're going to be better now that he's here. Sure. As well. So we're moving forward.
John, you've referenced Mike Mularkey as a guy who's been very honest in press conferences, which I would agree with. Do you agree with everything he said right there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a distraction. And I think it was because Mike, I don't want to say he didn't care if Maurice Jones-Drew wasn't here or not, but he said from day one that there were things he wanted to learn from when he had coached in Buffalo. And one of those was not to let things that he couldn't control, you know, get to him. And that sounds like a cliche, and I'm sure it is to a degree, but everything Mike's done is sort of followed in that. Even when he was asked about Maurice a lot during training camp, he never showed any emotion over it. He never acted like he was upset. I think they were so busy trying to get the offense installed, trying to do what you have to do to get your program and your philosophy installed to a group of, at the time, 90 men, that they really didn't have time to worry about Maurice. And from Mike's perspective, what was going to be the point of worrying about it? Now that he's here, he can come in and play running back and everything's good. But I never got the impression from anybody feeling that if they were ever mad at Maurice, they just weren't going to worry about something they couldn't control.
Mentioned news from around the league. David Garrard expects to get cut by the Dolphins. I don't think it's happened officially as of yet. But reports are that he's going to get cut. Watching David's Twitter feed, it was indicating that as well. So
sounds like he heard it from somebody.
Yeah, has a pretty good idea. It may not have been reported into the league or may not have been processed yet or whatnot. But, boy, there was so much hand-wringing and consternation about David Garrard being let go at the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. The timing of it, we can all admit, wasn't all that great. But the decision that was made has done two things. One, I think we've seen that perhaps David's body, through all those years of being a guy who would take the pounding, maybe, you know, betraying him now. And the other thing is that, and we'll see for sure, but did those 14 games that Blaine Gabbert wound up starting, is that going to be a benefit for him this year and in years to come?
Yeah, let's face it, last year was just a mess on a lot of fronts. And David shouldn't have been cut at the time that he was cut. There wasn't much disagreement within the building that it was time to move on. But the way it was handled, obviously, if you had to do over again, you would do it differently. And, you know, I don't know how much those 14 games will or won't benefit Blaine. I don't think they can hurt. The only thing I worried about them possibly hurting was if it had hurt his confidence, if it had somehow, you know, damaged him as a person. I don't think, judging by the offseason, by the way he acted, in my conversations with him when I watched him talk with the media, this is not a guy who lacks confidence. So I don't think in any way it's going to hurt him. I don't know how much you're going to look on the field and see it tangibly helping him this year. I think the fact that he has good coaching this year is going to help him a lot. I think the fact that he's confident, that he's a year older, is going to help him. I don't know that we'll ever know how much that helped or hurt, but I don't think it hurt him.
All right, 355-NFL1 and also facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, which leads us to Zachary. Why were we ranked 28th in ESPN Power Rankings last week? This week we get Drew back and we drop to 29.
Because that's a very scientific, well-thought-out process, Power Rankings.
And a very important poll when it comes down to the postseason,
yeah.
John. If you're not up in the Power Rankings, then what?
Because basically the guy doing the rankings was moved him to 29th.
Yeah.
And
you've done Power Rankings,
probably
put
very little thought into it. If you had to ask him today why he did it, he'd probably look at you with a blank look, and you know, go to the bathroom. I mean, it just doesn't. It
there goes that blank look.
Yeah, I mean, that's how little thought a lot of these national power rankings put, especially when you get to the bottom 20. You know, the bottom 20 teams.
Especially when there hasn't been a regular season game played.
Fans get much more concerned than the writer is concerned with getting those rankings once they get past the top 15 or 20 right. It's just how it is.
Yeah, once you get down in the 20s, he's probably thinking about what kind of sandwich he's going to have for lunch.
Or going to the bathroom.
Which apparently is, you know, could be something could be really on somebody's mind at this point of the year. There have been so many things this offseason where you have people taking shots at the Jaguars or picking them to be just ridiculous. You know, again, the 1-15 and the 2-14 thing just doesn't make any sense at all. There's no logic behind it. And if you're going to get concerned with that, if you're going to take a lot of pride or feel stronger about the team that you're a fan of, if the national media doesn't build you up, particularly in the preseason after you've had a pretty miserable and forgettable year the year before, you're looking for reasons to get a little bit spooled up.
Paul Posluszny said it best, and you know, we'll hear that a lot because Paul Posluszny usually says it best. He's a very intelligent guy with a lot to say. He said yesterday, we haven't given anybody very much reason to pick us above 5-11, even about 3-13. They weren't very good last year. These guys know they're better. They feel like they're better, but you're not going to change the perception of a guy sitting in Sacramento, California by a couple of good preseason games. It's going to take...
That guy probably didn't watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a good start. It's going to take some people talking about you in a more positive light. Then it's going to take some building on that start. It takes time. It's not going to happen based on Blaine Gabbert and Justin Blackmon playing well in a preseason game and following that up with two good practices. But the nice thing is it doesn't matter what they think. The NFL is not about polls. It's about the 16 games on the field.
Yeah, and we'll get to start that, of course, on Sunday as the Jaguars take on the Vikings. John in Keystone Heights, you're up here on Jaguars Reporters. John, how you doing?
All right, buddies. How are you guys doing?
Good. Oh, we're great.
Yeah.
You didn't sound too convinced by that, John.
No, not really. But anyhow, no, the thing I've been thinking about, and this is something I've thought about, because being a previous Cleveland fan before I came here to Jacksonville, is the Biner, now I'm going blank.
The fumble?
Pardon?
The Biner fumble?
Yeah, the Biner fumble.
Okay.
But the running back that was with him.
Kevin Mack?
Mack and Biner. What about Jennings and Jones-Drew? I think that would be a very good combination on a lot of plays if both of them were out there at the same time.
I think you'll see some of that, actually. Mike Mularkey kind of alluded to that a bit.
You never see the two-back system quite as much as the fans sort of talk about the two-back system. They just don't run it quite as often. Usually these days with running backs, you want two because they're both going to carry so much that – I guess you want to reduce the wear and tear, if you will. But I think you'll see it some.
And you're talking about using both on the field at the same time. Now, that's a different situation. Again, I think you'll see some of that this year.
Sure.
There.
But I don't think it'll be your standard set in any way.
No, and I think you may be more likely to see one of those guys out there with Montel Owens necessarily than both Jones-Drew and Rashad Jennings.
And Mularkey alluded to that the other day. He said that was a possibility. He wouldn't hesitate to use Montel in that situation.
Yeah. And so rather than having Greg Jones is a fullback in the I formation with whoever's behind him, I think You'll see plenty of that, certainly. But I think you're more likely this year than last to see two tailbacks out there together, two running backs, not
fullbacks.
This
team's
going to
mix
together.
Up a lot of things as time goes on. I'm not sure that we've seen all the wrinkles or all the small things that you're going to see in this offense.
In fact, I'm certain we haven't, because
right.
Maurice hasn't even been there, so you know that you haven't seen a lot of those wrinkles in that offense. All right, thanks for the call, John. We appreciate it. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. When we come back, we patch a hole in the ozone. It's all about disrespect.
It's all about disrespect, Cole.
You got to respect me. And also we'll hear from Gene Smith, his Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Week, plus what John and I will be asking the rest of this week as we get ready for the season opener. More to come. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters here presented by Burger King. Live from Jaguars Central, Cole Tepper, John Osher, Joe Fortunato at the controls. You can join the conversation, 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. I would suspect that folks will have a lot more very dramatic opinions next week after we see a regular season game. It's really remarkable when you think about it. You get a little preseason taste, and yeah, that's all fine and good, but people get worked up about the preseason. As soon as the preseason ends, nobody cares about the preseason anymore. It's time to get things going.
Joe's so worked up, he was singing Bobby Goldsboro during the break,
yeah,
by the way.
Which is,
so let's just leave that at that.
Yeah. The Vegas line on that was 3-1 against, right. So somebody wants some big bucks on them. All right, 355-NFL-1. Let's hear from the general manager, Gene Smith. Who was his Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Week last week?
Josh Beekman. Here's a guy that came in after working as a GA and getting ready to go to graduate school at Eastern Kentucky University. He gets a phone call. He comes in, and he's earned his spot on the roster as a guard center. So in terms of play throughout the game, he did, I think, the best job as someone we could recognize.
All right. It's all Beekman's world now as he makes the team. Don't expect for him. Do you like that? You don't expect for him probably to see much action. If he does, the Jaguars are probably.
They legitimately liked. They legitimately liked the way he played. He was not a. This was not all. Oh boy, we don't have anybody else to keep.
Yeah.
They liked a lot about what he did.
Particularly how quickly he picked up some things as he came in, which obviously is a big help if you can pick things up in a hurry. All right. Every week we find a question that has come in to John Osher in the Ozone on Jaguars.com and ask him to answer a question he wasn't going to answer.
Yeah,
for
unfortunately with this one,
space,
I've had to answer it a lot.
Yeah, and I think we may have already answered it, but Paul from Section 146, you are the lucky winner today. Your question is in a hole in the ozone. Over the line, in all caps, he said. They were over the line. Markham zero, oh dude. Is that the first time you've been called oh dude?
I've been called so many things worse than that, Cole.
Yeah. ESPN The Rag says our Big Cats will only win one game. This disrespect will not stand.
Yeah, and I obviously didn't know we were going to cover this topic ad nauseum before now. You know, again, the respect thing, it'll come. You win, it comes. You don't get respected.
Now, let's spend a little time quickly on what we'll be asking the rest of the week. I'll be asking, but probably not getting an answer, how much Adrian Peterson's going to play, which is substantial, I think, with this
sure.
game. And also, and have asked some people this already, are there positives or negatives to opening a season on the road? Does it matter? Does it make any difference? My opinion on that, by the way, is that it only makes a difference if you win on the road.
Right.
Because now you've got a road win, and you're 1-0, you've game in hand.
Right. It's a chance to break serve, if you will. It's a chance to sneak one. The opening game, the opening week of the NFL season is always the weirdest week. You get stranger results that week. You see more upsets. You see more things when you look back.
And we put more into it, and we go, oh, look at this. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and it's because coaches have a chance to prepare the whole season for it, many reasons. But if you can sneak that one on the road, then you're one up coming back, and you feel great about yourself. If you don't, it's not a disaster, but it is a good way to get one that maybe you wouldn't.
All right, and so that's what I'll be asking. What are you going to be asking the rest of the week?
Yeah, I think a lot of it will center around how much can Maurice Jones-Drew contribute? What will his role really be? and just kind of how this team's going to approach this first game mentally, how they've done so much good during the off season. How do you turn that? How will that translate into the regular season?
Yeah, and it's intriguing. I actually mentioned to somebody in the hallway today, I'm looking forward to this season opener about as much as I have for any season opener in quite a while.
Yeah, because it's we've seen glimpses of what they're going to do, but realistically, this team has not played yet with a full game plan. We don't know how they're going to react to being down at halftime when it matters. We saw the defense struggle a little bit in Baltimore. It's got people concerned. But we haven't seen this defense play where it blitzes when you need one, where it takes a chance, where Mel's got to make a call. We haven't seen what Bob Rutkowski is going to do if it's third and one. Is he going to go play action deep? Are they going to feed the ball to Blackman? There's so much potential here, but we don't know exactly how they're going to use it all. And we won't know for a few weeks because this is how it's going to play out. So it's very fascinating, this team this year.
And this opener offers some very intriguing storylines. Of course, you have the Rashad Jennings, Maurice Jones-Drew balance. How are they going to handle that? You have Mike Mularkey returning to Minnesota, where he played as a player and has a lot of history there. You have a great matchup to watch between Jared Allen and Eugene Monroe. And then you have the probably the most obvious storyline nationally, which is Christian Ponder,
right?
Blaine Gabbert, both guys from that big quarterback class of a year ago. Both had similar rookie seasons. Ponder maybe a little bit more consistent, but
not much. I mean, the knock on Ponder is nationally and locally is the same as the knock on Blaine Gabbert, and it's hard to tell how fair it is because we all sort of know that the knock on Blaine isn't exactly fair. So who knows? We haven't parsed everything that Christian Ponder did, but they take heat for basically the same things, for you know not being great under pressure, for not being great in certain situations. So that's a storyline. But to me, I'm watching Eugene Monroe against Jared Allen because Eugene has said this is a year that he wants to be dominant. He wants to take that step, and clearly this is a day where he's going to need to protect Gabbert.
Well, and if he wants to be a guy who's considered to be playing on a Pro Bowl level,
yeah,
who better to start with than a guy who's been one of the two or three most dominant pass rushers in the NFL over the last 5 years?
Yeah, and everybody says, I want to see how Blaine does when he's pressured. I would rather go the whole season and see how he does when he's not pressured.
And still have that question, right? Yeah, that would be best-case scenario for the Jaguars, to be sure. Okay, Sunday, 1 o'clock, kickoff against the Vikings up in the Metrodome, and we'll have coverage beginning at 10 o'clock with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show.
We're there. It's time.
You're going to be there. I'll be here. So I asked some other people for predictions. Are you ready, willing? Can you give a predict? I'll give mine if you'll give yours.
I'm not huge on predictions, to be honest with you. I think the Jaguars win because I think right now they're better than the Vikings.
I do too, but I think it's a fairly low scoring game at this point. I think you're looking at about a 24-17 kind of ball.
I'd like to see him get in the 20s.
All right, that's John Osher for Joe Fortunato. Cole Pepper here reminding you that tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, a full house right here. Until then, thanks for listening to Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King, and good night from Jaguar Central.